Good evening. It's good to see people from this morning and people who have come this evening. Welcome to all who are coming from different churches along the Front Range, I think you call it. And it's a blessing to be here with you. It's good and pleasant when brothers and sisters are dwelling in unity, isn't it? Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 11 and hear what the Lord has to say to us this evening. I will be referring to other passages that maybe you'll see coming later on when you'll see this theme of languages. But will you turn to Genesis 11, and as we come to the reading of God's Word, beginning at verse 1. And it will be finishing at verse 9. This is, to remind you, this is the word of the living God. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever. I wonder if you've made plans and they have failed. Yes, of course, many. Have you ever wondered if the Lord stepped in and thwarted your plans? Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Because when we make plans, maybe often we have selfish motivations in making those plans. We have our own ambitions that are not the Lord's. And the Lord steps in. And he prevails with his plan for us. That's what we're going to look at today, and we're going to see three scenes or three cities. We've started off with this one here, Babylon or Babel, and we're going to look at two other cities. As we're going to see man's plans for unity for his own namesake and God's plan for unity, as we're going to see, for his namesake. So let's start here with this city of Babel. And notice in verse 1, it speaks of the people had one language. That would be an interesting study, what that language was. But they spoke this one language together, and so they could plan together with their ambition, and that was to build a city. Well, they had migrated from probably close to where Ararat was, where the ark rested. And so the sons of Noah multiplied, but they stayed in one group, and they went down to live in this plain of Shinar. And there they decided that they were going to build a city with a tower that reached up into the heavens. Children, is that possible? Can you reach up to the heavens with a tower? Of course not, but that was their ambition. And so they had this plan for the city and this tower to reach up to the heavens, to the sky. And they were going to take this new technology that they had developed, which are making bricks out of stone, no longer so bricks here, that they would burn thoroughly. And that was for stone now, and bitumen for the mortar. This is how they're going to build up this city and this tower within. And here you see the motivation of the heart. Why were they building this city? Look at verse 4. It says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and tower to the top of heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves." It was not to make the name of God famous over all the earth, but it was to make a name for themselves, lest they be dispersed over the face of the earth. Now, if you're an astute student of the Bible, you will know that that was in direct violation of the command of God. What did God command Adam? That you were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That command was repeated to Noah with his children, that they were to be fruitful and multiply and cover the face of the earth and multiply. What did they do instead? They said, "Let's build a city for ourselves with our own means, in our own way, in direct rebellion against God. We do not want God to rule over us. We will rule ourselves." That's what they were thinking and doing in building this city. And so the Lord has to come down from his throne, from where he rules, and he looks down on the children of men making this, you can think like a sandcastle. You know, a little ant's very busy in this building of a city and a tower. He has to come stoop down to see the people in their work. And he says to himself, "Behold, they are one people. They have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them." He sees now their rebellion can get higher and higher and higher against him. When they work together with this one language as one people in rebellion against God. So what does God do? He comes down in judgment. And he says, "Come, let us." Did you notice that? Let us, God, three persons, one being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, saying, "Let us come down, and we are going to confuse their language." What does it mean? It says here that they will not be able to understand one another's speech. From this point in history, they were speaking one language. They could talk with the same words. They understood each other's with their plans, how they're going to build the city. But now they're saying words that they were not understanding from one another because God confused these languages. That's why it's called Babel. And it's a very interesting study. I tried to look into it. How many languages would have been dispersed here? Because there are language families. Evolutionists talk about maybe there was this one language that evolved, but no, there were English. From this day forward, there were language families, and they also dispersed into sub-languages. As they had to disperse over the face of the earth, it's exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. He called this place Babel because the Lord confused the languages over the earth. From there, the Lord dispersed them from over the face of the earth. They now were obeying. As they were dispersed according to their languages. And so it is as we find it today. All of these nations with their respective languages. And is this where the story of languages ends in the Bible? Can you think of another place where not so much it's about man's plan for unity with this one language, but it's now talking about God's plan for unity with diversity of languages? Can you think of a place in the Bible that has a diversity of languages and it's for God's name's sake? Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. And this message is shorter than usual because we have full slate this evening. But Acts chapter 2 will summarize this portion of God's word. If you're familiar with this day of Pentecost, which 50 days after the Passover Sabbath, the festival of harvest, all the Jewish people who are in the diaspora, they came to Jerusalem to worship God, this festival. And on this day, we find the believers gathered in one place awaiting the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. They're in a house together, about 120 of them, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes with a rushing wind. And it's audible. And also it's visible that there are these tongues of fire resting over the heads of these believers in this house. And out of their lips come words that were unintelligible to them, but understandable to the people who started to hear these languages being spoken from this room. They were hearing of the mighty works of God being declared in their own native tongues. Because these Jewish people that had gone to Persia, had gone to Asia Minor, North Africa and Arabia, and all the way to Rome and Crete, they were coming to Jerusalem knowing these languages, and they were hearing it in those accents. And they were saying, "What?" They were bewildered. What is going on? And you know, Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk, as you suppose, but they were given this gift in this moment in redemptive history to proclaim the mighty works of God in redemptive history, so that these languages, these people who could hear these works of God in their languages would be able to go back and proclaim it to the people where they lived. You see the purpose of God, the plan of God for languages? This is exactly the opposite of what we found in Babel. Because in Babel, God came down in judgment because they, as one people with one language, had their own plans for their own namesake. So God judged them from their human pride. But now at Pentecost, we have God's plan revealed and his purpose that stands. That he wants to see a multitude of peoples with their languages worshiping him in unity. And we find unity in that place at Pentecost. A reunion of the nations with their multiple languages, becoming a multitude of people praising God. And missionaries, as we have some here, they understand the importance of learning the language to be able to get to the place of proclaiming the mighty works of God. And some of these very difficult languages take many, many years to achieve fluency. Do you know, I looked up the website of Wycliffe. They say there are 7,388 languages in the world. Can you imagine how many Bibles people have in their own native tongue? Only 10% of the languages. 37% have a portion of God's word in their language. 54% of the languages in the world do not have a single verse of the Bible in their language. How will they hear of the mighty works of God unless missionaries are sent to translate God's word, that they would hear it, understand, and believe and praise God? So this is the plan of God. This is the purpose of God for the nations and their languages. So that's Jerusalem. We have Babel, we have Jerusalem, and now can you think of the last city, God's final plan for the nations? Where would you go to see the languages proclaiming the mighty works of God? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And again, briefly, as we go through this passage, the scene in heaven, the New Jerusalem. And this is riveting, because there is this scroll that is in the hand of the one who is on the throne, and it's sealed with seven seals. It's written all over it. Now, this scroll represents God's plan for redemptive history. And it has to be broken and open for it to be enacted, to be accomplished. And it appears that there's no one worthy in heaven to break its seals and to enact this redemptive history. And there's silence. And John starts to weep. Who's worthy? Until the lion is revealed. But it's actually it's not just the lion, it's actually the lamb. The Lamb of God who comes and takes the throne, the scroll from the one on the throne. He's the one who is worthy. And so heaven erupts in praise for the Lamb. And it says in verse 9, and they sing this new song, worthy are you to take the scroll. Worthy are you, the Lamb, to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Do you see God's plan? It's that he would have representatives in heaven from all of these different nations praising him with their respective languages. And that's the unity in this city, according to God's plan, the praise of his name. And you see it? You see the scene in heaven? You will be there if you have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. If you have received him and you are praising him because you know you have been redeemed by him. And you will be worshiping him in the English language. But you'll be surrounded with people with a cacophony and harmony of languages worshiping the Lamb. We have to have this vision because that's where we're going. And so often in our lives, we are so focused on our own plans. And what we're actually building is the city of man. But God is after building his own city. He's the founder and the builder. I was in Dubai a couple months ago, driving through the city center with a friend of mine who's a pastor in the largest church in Dubai. Do you know in this congregation of 6,000 people, there are 120 countries represented? It's a beautiful picture of something close to heaven. But it's so evident in Dubai, with the tallest tower in the world, just the plans of men and people who are living for the here and now. They're living for the city of man. But what are you living for? Because we make plans, yes, we do. But when we look at our hearts, is it to see building our own little kingdoms, our own little monuments? When I was growing up, I wanted to have medals and trophies. I want a name for myself. And that can be in anything in your life. I know women want to make a name for themselves with their cooking. It can be anything. But now, we who have been redeemed, it's not for our plans, it's not for our purpose that we live, it's for his plan. It's for his name's sake that we live. And so abandon all of those plans that you may have and seek first this city of God in heaven. Seek his glory and his praise in the English language. Let's pray. How we thank you, Father, you've given us this language to bless you, to praise you. And we know so often we are living our lives as though we are seeking to use language to work with others to build something of our own. And we know the rebellion in our own hearts, wanting to build our own kingdom. But no, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your city be built on the ruins of the city of men. And may we be a people who look to that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, and long to be there among the nations, praising you, the Lamb of God, who alone is worthy. Glory to your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.